Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P, Pep. Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal, presents
The Adventures of Superman. Today, while Clark Kent anxiously awaits further word of his young friend's whereabouts, Jimmy Olsen and Beanie Martin lie tightly bound, helplessly imprisoned in a locked room bathed in mounting flames.
Hello there, gang. This is your pal, Dan McCullough. Say, you're always meeting up with Goofy and Beezy in the Harold Teen comic strip and Tess Trueheart and Pat Patton. But here's a way you can get all those comic strip characters and more, too. And that's by collecting that exciting new series of comic buttons from packages of Kellogg's Pep. And what fun it is to trade duplicates with your friends and add a new button to your collection. Mighty satisfying, too, to wear all your Pep comic buttons pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap right out where all your pals can see how many you've collected. Because these 18 new and different Pep comic buttons are real beauties. Bright colored and keen looking, believe me. So get busy on your collection, gang. It's easy as anything. You don't have to send in any money, not even a box top. And you can't buy these Pep comic buttons anywhere. You get them just by asking Mom to get you some Kellogg's Pep and looking inside each package for your prize. Yes, sir, Kellogg's Pep is a prize package, all right. Such a super delicious dish for breakfast that, well, you practically can't resist it. Why, those toasted flakes of good whole wheat are crisp and golden and loaded with catchy sunshine flavor. Good for you, too. Sure, Mom knows that. So ask her to get you lots of P-E-P, the sunshine cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
And now the adventures of Superman.
In a well-meaning attempt to recover $450, which Poco, editor Perry White's little cook, had been swindled out of by racketeers operating a bogus song publishing company, Cub reporter Jimmy Olsen and Beanie Martin, Daily Planet copy boy, stepped into danger. Their intentions discovered by the racketeers, the self-styled Professor Blessing and Froggy, his henchman, Jimmy and Beanie were knocked unconscious, then tied up and left in the professor's locked office. When they came to, they threw themselves against the desk, hoping to dislodge the telephone and so be able to call for help. But in so doing, they overturned a smoking stand on which a smoldering cigar still rested. A moment later, fire leaped swiftly through the office. And as we continue now, the flames are spreading through the old office building. Their arms and legs bound tightly, Jimmy and Beanie helpless on the floor of the racketeer's office. Gaze about them in panic. Listen.
Gee whiz, Beanie, now we are in a spot.
Yeah, and soon we'll be a couple of pieces of burnt toast, Jim. What do we do?
I don't know, Beanie. We can only get these ropes off.
We can't. Help!
It's no use yelling, Beanie. Nobody can hear us in this inside office.
We gotta do something. We just can't stay here and...
Take it easy. You know what Mr. Kent always says when you're in a tight spot? You gotta keep cool and use your head.
I wish we'd listen to Mr. Kent and not tangle with those racketeers in the first place. Jeepers, Jim, I...
Wait, Beanie. I hear fire engines.
So what? I won't be able to get up to this floor in time. Anyhow, nobody knows we're in here.
That's right. Hey, I've got it.
Yeah, what?
The telephone.
Huh?
Where'd that pencil go to?
What pencil?
The pencil I had a minute ago. Quick, help me find it.
What for?
So we can dial the operator and call Mr. Kent.
Oh, yeah. But
where'd that pencil get to? Oh, here it is. No, if I could only pick it up in my teeth.
You'll never be able to dial a phone like that.
I've got it. It's our only chance. It keeps rolling away.
Even if you do call Mr. Kent, what can he do?
I don't know, but he'll do something. There. I got it. Out of the way, Beanie. I'm going to roll over to the phone.
It'll never work. I'll see.
It's got to work. Now, here's our phone. I got to tip it up to get it to dial.
That won't work. Creepers, Jim. The carpet's starting to catch fire.
Roll on it. Put it out. Quick.
Okay. Ollie, this smoke is choking me.
The phone is up. If I could only get this pencil into the dial. See, I can't do it. what I've got. I've got it. Oh, well.
No use, Jim. You'll never do it.
What?
It's done.
One.
More.
Cry.
No use, I tell you. Why don't those firemen get up here?
There, I... Oh, gosh, I thought I had it that time. Greeny, I don't think I can work it.
Oh, gee.
There goes our only chance.
Chief?
Huh?
I'm Johnson, a superintendent of this building.
Oh. I'll come over here out of the way.
Right.
Now, what about your tenants? Have you checked on them?
Yes, sir. All except the two upper floors were occupied by the Williamson Rug Company. I just talked to their manager. All their employees got out safely.
Good. What about the two upper floors? That's where the fire is worst. We can't get in there.
Well, there are only 14 offices on the two top floors. I've seen all the tenants except those from office 1219. Some song publishers occupy it.
Uh-oh. If they're trapped up there, it's going to be tough to get to them. But we'll try.
No, wait. Murray, the man at the cigar stand in the lobby, says that Professor Blessing and his assistant, they run the song publishing company, left the building about half an hour ago.
Is he sure?
Yes, he said the professor stopped to buy a cigar, and he and his assistant are the only ones in the company.
Okay, that's fine. We don't have to worry about anyone being trapped, then. That's some relief. But there's plenty of work left to do. See you later.
Yes, Clark Kent speaking.
City Dash, that's Burroughs.
Yes, Burroughs.
We just had a flash on a big fire in Taylor Street, Kent. An old office building.
Anyone in danger?
The building superintendent claims all the tenants got out in time.
Oh, that's fine.
I thought that you might want to go out and get a story anyhow. They say it's a pretty spectacular blaze.
No, thanks. I'm not interested in spectacular blazes. Send one of the kid reporters out on it, Burroughs.
Okay. That'll be a good assignment for Jim Olson. Have you heard from him yet, Kent?
No, that's why I'm sticking close to my phone. I'm expecting a call from the chief that my... Uh-oh, there's my phone now. Handle the fire your own way, Burroughs.
Okay.
Kent speaking.
Oh, Kent, this is Perry White.
Oh, hello, chief. I've been waiting for your call. Listen, did you talk to...
Jim and Beanie?
No. Did you talk to Poco?
Not yet, you see.
Well, for heaven's sake, what are you waiting for? I told you to talk to...
But...
I'm sure Jim and Beanie are mixed up in that trouble of Poco's, whatever it is. That means Poco knows where they are. Now, you've got to make him tell you.
Now, wait a minute, will you? I can't speak to Poco now. He's asleep.
Well, wake him up. I'm surprised at you, Chief.
I can't wake him up.
What?
At least not enough to be intelligible, because the doctor gave him a sedative.
Oh?
I tried to wake him, but it's no use. All he does is mumble some crazy song about Dizzy Lizzy.
Dizzy Lizzy?
Yes. I can't make any sense out of it.
Huh.
I even called the doctor, and he says we won't be able to question Poco for a few hours when the sedative wears off.
Uh-oh, that's bad news, Chief.
Oh, take it easy, Kent. Take it easy. Jim and Beanie are probably all right.
No, I've got a hunch they're not.
You and your hunches. I told you before, Jim isn't a baby. He knows his way around.
Yes, I know, but he's young and impulsive. I told you he admitted Poco was in trouble and said he was going to try to get him out of it.
I know.
And that strange phone call from that Mr. Anstruther, whoever he is, a little while ago, wanting to identify Jim. I don't like that either.
Oh, relax, will you? Jim and Beanie will probably walk in any minute.
I wish they
would. We can't do anything about the mystery until Poco wakes up.
No, I guess we can't. Right now, it looks as if even I'm stymied.
Deeply worried, Clark Kent replaces the telephone. Certain his young friends are in danger, and yet seeing no way to help them. Meanwhile, at the same moment, in the blazing office building, Jimmy Olsen continues his desperate attempt to dial the telephone with the pencil in his mouth in order to contact Kent. Will Jimmy's efforts be successful? We'll know more in a moment when we return to the tense climax of today's episode. So stand by.
You know, a certain young lady registered a complaint with me the other day, said I'd been neglecting the girls when I talk about that brand new series of comic buttons that now come in packages of Kellogg's Pep. She said that we have just as much fun as the boys do wearing those smart-looking buttons on our jacket or dress and collecting all the different comic strip characters and trading duplicates with our friends. And you know, she's right. Sure, all the gang gets a big kick out of those 18 new and different Pep comic buttons. Each one has a true-to-life picture of one of your favorite funny paper friends, like Toots and Casper, and Cindy, and Superman, of course.
Every one of these buttons is really on the beam. And you'll be on that same beam when you get along with your collection. So hop to it. Today, ask Mom to get you a package of Kellogg's Pep, because that's the only way you can get these exclusive prizes. You can't buy them anywhere, and you don't send in any money, not even a box stop. But there's a comic button inside every package of Pep. That's Kellogg's Pep, the sunshine cereal. Pep, the golden toasted whole wheat flakes with the catchy sunshine flavor. Pep, the breakfast cereal that gives you extra vitamin B1 and energy vitamin and good old sunshine vitamin D. Remind Mom to get P-E-P, the sunshine cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
In Clark Kent's office in the Daily Planet, the man who we know as Superman is anxiously pacing the floor, worried about Jim and Feeney when the ringing of his phone startles him to attention.
Hello, Clark Kent speaking.
Mr. Kent.
Jim. Is that you, Jim?
Yeah.
What's the matter? You don't sound right.
Feeney and I. Fire.
What? Fire? Did you say something about a fire?
Yeah. Feeney and I. Trapped.
You're trapped? Where? Where, Jim? Where? Try to tell me.
Building.
Jim, tell me where you are. I'll help you. Yes, yes. Jim. Great Scott, he doesn't answer. He must have passed out.
Off of these clothes. This is a job for Superman. He said Taylor, and he also said building and office. Burroughs said an office building was on fire on Taylor Street. Jim may be trapped in it. Got to get to him. Okay, open this window. Now, up. And away!
Leaping into the sky, Superman rockets away across the city, red scape screaming in the wind. A second, 2 seconds flash by, and then the brilliant glare of the flaming office building comes into his sight. Jimmy Olsen's gallant attempt to contact Clark Kent has succeeded. And now Superman must once more engage in a race against time in order to save the lives of the cub reporter and Beanie Martin. What will happen? Monday's thrilling episode tells the exciting story of what happens. So don't miss it.
And remember, for breakfast, it's Kellogg's Pep.
For excitement, the adventures of Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC comic magazines and is brought to you Monday through Friday at the same time by Kellogg's Pep, the sunshine cereal. You know, gang, one word leads to another, like the way those toasty words, crisp, crunchy, crinkly, lead you right on to Crumbles. Kellogg's Crumbles, so toasty and sweet and mellow rich on a frosty morning. It's the only cereal in the whole wide world made in those little crinkly shreds of good whole wheat. And so good for you. Sure, Mom knows that. In fact, she'd probably like to see you eat up a bowl of Crumbles for breakfast tomorrow. Crisp, crunchy, crinkly, Crumbles, Kellogg's Crumbles. And be sure to be with us on Monday for the thrilling adventures of Superman. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.